My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York on Odyssey Sports Station.
Hi, Boomer and Geo coming to you live. The Bill Ford Tough Studios. Stu Gotts in for Boomer, by the way. Al, did you know that Post Malone on Friday is now coming out with a song with Luke Combs?
When is the whole album coming out?
I don't know.
They just put the whole thing out.
So it was funny because Jordan Davis announced that he was putting out a new song on Friday, July 26th. And then the next day, Post Malone came out with this Luke Combs song. And everybody in Jordan's camp was like, what? How come we didn't know this? We can't go up against them now. I mean, if people love Jordan, no, but still, the Post Malone thing and Luke Combs is as big as it gets right now.
I got
now.
Tricked into a couple things. There's people on YouTube now that are making it seem like it's a new Post Malone country song. And when you click on it, it's just them singing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Totally. Not,
yeah, you know, it's
and
a
I'm
bait
falling
and switch.
For it.
We hate a bait and switch. But we love Diana Russini, who's in studio with us. Diana now with The Athletic, of course, and she's been covering the Jets a lot along with the rest of the league. Diana, good morning. Thanks
Hi,
for being here.
Guys, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Man, I tell you, unlike Stu Gotts, you are beloved in this building. Ryan Hurley was so excited to see you. Everybody was, I was excited to see you. Him, on the other hand, you know, he's left a little bit of a trail of slime the last time he was here. So it's been tough to start to convincing the staff here that he's actually an okay guy.
I mean, her name was at the security desk, unlike mine. She was greeted by people, unlike me.
Yeah.
I was calling people trying to get help to get into this place because they changed the entrance. No one was picking up their phone. Al was on the air. So was Eddie C.
Eddie C? I know you're calling him Eddie C.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
What are you doing?
Eddie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I stand by fraud.
Eddie, now I have to live with that for a year.
Eddie C,
I don't know what happened there. Now I have to live with that for a year. But Russini walks in, and they roll out the red carpet. Well, she deserves it, but so do I.
She brought Dunkin' for us, some wonderful donuts.
Stu, what'd you bring?
Nothing. Me. I brought water.
I did bring water.
Listen, this is WFAN. I watch it all the time. I watch these guys all the time. I got here last year. I told Gio, I thought it'd be bigger. I thought it'd be nicer.
Yeah. Well.
It's still not. A year later. I mean.
You thought the studio would be bigger and nicer.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing I said to Ryan Hurley, the program director, this place is beautiful. Mm. This is wonderful.
It's not. Yeah, it's okay.
She's going to get hired here. It's unbelievable.
Well, here's what's interesting. So yesterday when Stu reached out to me and said, hey, can you come on? He said, can you come by at 9? And then Ryan Hurley texted me. He's like, hey, we would really love if you came in studio, hung out with the show a little bit, talked some Jets, talked about your new podcast, Scoop City. How's eight? I said, sure, eight's great. And I'm thinking, who's running this place? Because Stugatz is booking me.
Right.
And you're a guest of the show still.
Yeah.
And you come in here and you think you're the main host. Like, well, you're not Boomer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. In right. for Boomer. I keep saying that.
In for Boomer.
In
yeah.
for Boomer.
I respect Boomer. I mean, listen, Boomer came on my podcast, and you're right, I'm not Boomer. I'm bigger. I don't know what to tell you.
No.
I'm not saying that. Boomer, I love you. I didn't say it, okay? I'm lashing out in all directions.
You certainly
I'm getting
are.
Names wrong. I'm excited Diana's here, but you're right. I had her 9 to 10 because I wanted to have a little meal with Diana afterwards, but now I can't. Now I feel like I'm being set up for something.
No. I mean, I think
Sal is going to kick my ass.
No, it's not that. I just think that there was power moves left and right that were going on here with you and Ryan Hurley because Ryan Hurley took the job that
got
you
it.
Turned down.
Yes.
So now he had to show that he's in charge. So he didn't put your name on the security list, put Diana's name on the security list. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, move Diana's time because you booked her at 9. He said, no. I'm in charge, 8 o'clock.
Right.
And me,
I'll tell you when she's coming.
And me,
right.
Al, and Eddie are in Boomer and Geo summer mode, so we don't care. we are feet up right now. You guys do whatever the hell you want.
So Stu is leading on this company and the listeners here in having them believe that he was the first choice for the program director job, and Ryan Hurley is the backup quarterback here? Is that who's taking over as the starter? Is that what happened?
I think that's the truth.
I have regret. You know what? I spoke to Ryan yesterday, and I apologized within the first 30 seconds. I did two things to Ryan. I apologize for giving that off, and I pitched him a show with me and you. Me and Diana Rossini. Inside a 2-hour show, Al, and I pitched me and Diana Rossini as a show.
Wait, you pitched a show? You didn't even talk to me about this.
Well, I figured you'd be okay with it.
I'm not. I don't want to do a show with you at all, ever.
That's
love
great.
You
so you've been a fan of the radio station being a New Jersey product, and that is so cool. When I found out that you were a listener, I got excited, irrationally excited about that. Both you and Mike Garofolo, when I found you guys listen, I was like, oh, that's cool. Because they, like, know stuff about the NFL, and then, like, they listen to us idiots. I was like, that's great. So I was excited to hear that. So you've been listening. You and your dad, I hear, have been fans of the radio station for a long time.
My whole family is listening right now.
That's
guys,
great.
I was on national television for almost 10 years.
Right.
My parents saw me on TV maybe one time. But I'm on The Fan right now. My dad is under the carport of our house right now with a little AM radio that probably is running low on a battery that he probably has to replace with it up close to his ear. He's almost 70 years old. He's going to be 70 next week. Listening intently to make sure, not that I'm informed and credible and interesting. His feedback's going to be, were you nice to the guy? Did you make Gio feel good?
Right.
Not were the guys nice to you?
Correct. Not like, did you audit? Did you share all the stuff you know? No. It's going to be, did you listen to them? What did they have to say about the Jets? Did they tell you about the Jets? Yeah, Dad, I know a lot about the Jets. Maybe you should ask me.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right.
When is your dad going to realize you know more about the Jets than anybody?
Apparently, all the men in my life right now do not care that I know anything about football. And unfortunately, in 2024 here, it's still an issue, but that's okay. And at some point here, they'll give. Even my in-laws who are in Philadelphia, I recently wrote a story about the state of the Eagles right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband sent the article and all the information to my in-laws who are season ticket holders, big Eagles fans, brother-in-laws, father-in-law. They're all so into it. No response, nothing. They talk about me in WIP. Text messages.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're talking about Diana right now.
It's I love that.
Maybe if you should read my article on The Athletic owned by the New York Times, you should check it out. It's pretty good. Sent it to you 3 days ago.
Not today, though. All right. So let's get into some of this stuff because you were all over the Aaron Rodgers story, the Zach Wilson story last year with The Athletic and Zach Rosenblatt. You guys did a tremendous job and gave us a lot to talk about for sure. So, you know, as we're finally here at training camp and this Aaron Rodgers stuff is seems to be behind him and addressing the mini camp and the mandatory mini camp and missing that. What is your sense about this organization as it embarks on this training camp as opposed to last year with all the pomp and circumstance and hard knocks and all of that?
Here's what I love, Gio. One of the reasons why I listen to you is I learn from you because you are one of the most polished broadcasters in New York.
Oh,
you do. You have a nice charm about you.
You want a Stadel 10 now so you can have a breakfast with Stu? It sounds good.
You're so clean. You get in and out real quick. And there's a craft to doing this job, and you do it at such a high level. But I appreciate that you were hesitating there, to almost going, where do I even begin? Yeah. Because I do think Jets fans feel that way of like, there's just always seems to be a lot of noise. But I think now with training camp starting, the fan base should have the same feeling ownership does, and really the entire building there in Florham Park, which is a new chapter. We are starting fresh. Whatever that was last year, all the mess that came with it, the distractions, the heartbreak with Aaron Rodgers' injury, the challenges with Zach Wilson, all the things that we saw that were painful to watch appear to be behind them. And a lot of that was used as a lesson for how they want to conduct themselves this year. We're going to see a different Robert Saleh this year. I firmly believe that. I think he learned a lot about some of the mistakes he was making in the media last year, some of the mistakes about his cadence and body language in the building, in the walls of the facility.
But he already blew it a couple weeks ago with the whole mandatory minicamp thing. He made a story out of nothing.
Yeah, but he got the locker room back. I mean, that's a big, it's big for him.
I don't necessarily believe he got the locker room back.
The
attempt was, everyone in football knows that Aaron Rodgers runs this team and we got to change it. But it's just like parenting, right? If you tell your 2-year-old they can have ice cream every single morning, the next, they're going to ask for it every day. Then one day you can't just say, no, we're not doing ice cream anymore. You can't pull it back in. Like, yeah. Once you give that leash, and they gave Aaron. And here's the thing. I said this when they were able to get Aaron Rodgers in a New York Jets uniform. I give them credit for handing him the keys. He knows how to win. He understands what a good culture is. He understands what it takes in terms of practice in the meeting rooms. I'm fine with that. The problem I've had this whole time watching how they've been operating is allowing all the input to come from Aaron Rodgers, because then Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh lose that leadership and the credibility as the, we'll call it, the adults running the show.
Here's the problem, and this is coming from a Jets fan. I've read all 40 chapters. I've been a Jet fan for 40 years, and each chapter gets worse and worse.
You got blood on your hand?
No, is that blood?
Yeah, what is that?
Why are you bleeding?
Where are you bleeding from?
You know what? I picked a thing on my nail here, and now it's bleeding.
You're bleeding all over the place, man.
I was chewing on a pen.
Dude, I'm sorry to stop you in the middle of that, but you do that hand thing, and it looked like you killed somebody. Take that lens wipe. It's essentially like an alcohol wipe.
That's going to feel good.
Thank you. I've read all the chapters, and each chapter gets worse, and so I don't know why a Jet fan, why you would expect Jet fans to think this chapter is going to be different when they're conditioned to think the worst, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but especially last year when they were not conditioned to think the worst. Last year, they were so into that team and Hard Knocks, and it was different, and watching them go to Broadway shows and everything. I think everybody bought in, but now, after the injury and how the season went, you can't feel positive about the team until they give you something. Now, another big issue with this team, obviously, is the Davante Adams story. How real is Davante Adams to the Jets as we sit here right now?
Yeah, there's not a lot of truth to that. I think there's a lot of want. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys remember last year when Aaron Rodgers handed over that wish list, we called it, of the players that he wanted on the team, and Davante was on that as well, like, how can we get him here? So he's had his eye on him. They're really good friends. It makes sense. Devontae's probably looking at the situation in New York going, they're a lot closer than the Vegas Raiders in terms of getting to a Super Bowl. So it makes sense, but I don't think the front offices here are looking at this as a realistic situation that can pan out. Could it change before the trade deadline? Possibly. But for now, both sides, from what I understand, there's no real interest in making this happen.
What could make it change?
It depends on where the Jets are, maybe.
Right.
Like, right? If they come out of the gate here hot, they go out to San Francisco, they get a big win against them, and they're able to build some momentum, and they feel like, all right, if we could just get one more weapon on offense, maybe this is where Woody says, do what you need to do, Joe. Make this happen, and perhaps we can make a run here. But I think right now they feel set in the positions, especially on offense right now.
So why? I mean, I just shouldn't even ask why. But Aaron Rodgers, when he's out at Lake Tahoe,
And he gets asked about Luke Getsy and Davante Adams, and he's walking up the fairway, and he's looking at his phone, and he goes, I love Davante. Can't wait to play with him again. I mean, just climb into the brain of him for just 1 second and tell me, why is he doing that? Because I'm thinking that he's doing that to put pressure onto the Jets publicly to do whatever they can to go get him and to let all of us know that he's pissed off that they haven't gone to get him.
Well, he's smarter than everybody, first of all.
Well,
right?
Of course,
so
we all know that.
He's going to let you know that. Yeah. And, you know, I've tried this for a couple seasons now of doing a better job of understanding him. I've been, because I want to do a better job covering him,
yeah.
It's hard to cover someone if you don't get them. So I talked to a lot of people that spend time with him, that know him. I know he likes to say his inner circle doesn't talk to anyone in the media. Not always true.
They do.
Everyone talks, guys. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks, especially when the pressure is up when it comes to the competition side of it, when it comes to the NFL and teammates. And look, for Aaron Rodgers, he tends to lean into the drama. He's not afraid of it. I think he likes it. I think he likes when we're talking about him. The Egypt situation, while, yes, he was disappointed in Robert Saleh coming out there and saying it was unexcused when he believed that it was going to be explained as an excused absent. And Saleh is like, I'm trying to get control over the team. And he's kind of like, what the heck? What are we doing here? Like, this isn't good. But you know what? We spent the last, 4 or 5 weeks now, just talking about him. Now, the same thing happened last year where we're talking a little bit about the control he had over the roster. And I remember driving to Florham Park and hanging out, going there for the first practice and watching him. And I fell for what I think Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, and everybody else falls for, which is he is an incredible football player. He is so good. When you watch him out there and you see his ability to mentor the players, and he's really a hybrid of a quarterback and a coach. All the good is there when it comes to the football. It's just so hard to swallow some of this, that the rest of it that comes with it. Some of the comments that he makes, the Pat McAfee things, which is fine. Like, you can do that if that's what you choose to do. It just puts a target on your back and brings more attention to a team that is just trying to win. I had a conversation with the general manager yesterday afternoon just about the headlines right now. And he said, Di, I don't really care what you guys are reporting, what you're saying about our team. We got to win. Because guess what? Nobody's caring about what you guys are talking about.
It erases everything.
If we just win.
Yeah.
So I think the same applies for them and him obviously coming off this injury. I'm interested to see if we're getting the same Aaron Rodgers.
He's one of the five best quarterbacks who has ever played. You can question him. You can talk about the off-the-field stuff. You can say he has one ring. This is one of the five greatest quarterbacks to ever play, just on physical talent alone, to ever play in the NFL. And so I'm happy to hear that. Like, you're out of camp. You saw that. You noticed what they noticed. You saw the leadership, though, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Because Gio, she's right. As long as he plays and they're good, what he says off the field does not matter. No one will care. We only care now because he's not playing.
Stu, the Jets don't care.
I know.
Because I've asked them.
Why would you?
Hey, how are you guys managing this? How are you handling this?
Right.
They don't care. If he just shows up and plays at a high level, he's just showing up to training camp today, right? Today, the players.
Yeah, he by the way, he just showed up and he's wearing like
an Egyptian shirt, right? Like, which, again, isn't that, that's like, you know what that is? That's him waving to us.
Yeah,
going, yes. And it's waving to fans that were disappointed that he didn't show up to camp. And look, I've had this conversation with so many different players over the years about the importance of mandatory camp. And you guys heard him on Pardon My Take explaining that they could have changed the schedule. He didn't understand right. The way it worked. And look, I personally believe a veteran head coach would have probably handled the situation better in terms of his schedule. They knew about it. Right, they could have easily said, look, let's just move this thing up. You have this trip planned. Let's just do it another time. But either way, I know that all is well between them now. So it begins today, boys.
Yes, it does. Now, he did say that he gets your text but does not respond to them. Is that accurate?
Oh, that's very accurate.
Okay.
He sees them all. He always struggles with my name, though. Like, there's always like a 20-minute pause. He's like, that girl, what's her name?
Oh, jeez. He's doing that on purpose, isn't he?
I don't know.
That's like a move we talk about Stugatz all the time, right?
It's another handed shot.
It's one of those, whatever.
He knows it's Diana Rossini. He knows how to say it. It's not that hard.
Yeah, he knows how to spell it.
Yes.
I've also interviewed him. I've met him.
Right. He's just doing that to mess with you.
Charity events with him. Like this. It's not like I'm some mysterious person, right?
When he told you to lose the number, did you?
No.
Oh, good. Good for you.
No, so what I do is anytime I report about him, I send him a text message before I publish it to let him know what I'm going to be saying and if he would like to respond or if he would, you know, like to just hop on a call to discuss it because what if the information's wrong?
Right.
But he chooses not to respond to it and he has that right.
Man, I would be really hard-pressed not to send him things that I know that he would agree with to get him to talk about other things. That would be my, like, unethical way to do it.
Oh, like a topic.
Like conspiracy theories?
I'd be like, hey, like, Aaron, I'm having a tough time composing this text because I went blind because of the vaccine. So, like, I don't know how you're feeling. Like, stuff like that. Like, hey, Aaron, what are you doing today? I'm throwing darts at Fauci's face right now just to see, just to, like, reel him in with some of that ideology and then be like, oh, by the way, what do you think of this guy?
That's
you ever do that?
That's how you would reel him in.
No.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. When you are a reporter and you are trying to get in touch with athletes or whoever you need the information from, you definitely go to that space of, how can I stand out? How can I make sure they see me? Do I just cold FaceTime them? Like, just straight up? Like, what up? What are you doing? You know?
Right.
I've definitely thought about that, but I haven't tried that, Jay. So thanks for that idea. Maybe after the show, I'll try it.
Right. That'd be good. I'm trying to think of a good one. That's not like two, because he's gone. He's gone some really controversial routes. Like,
he's gone off the beaten path.
We don't want to do any 9/11 stuff or any of the other shooting stuff. But like,
I think vaccine is right in the wheelhouse.
Or just UFO stuff. That's
UFO.
That's
yes.
Nice. Just, that'd be great. Yeah.
Like, hey, it's Diana. I'm in outer space right now.
Yeah, right.
Do you have service? Yeah.
Mark says hi. You know, something like that.
That's so
weird.
You're
like, oh, you met him too? Amazing.
No.
Something like that will definitely reel him in.
You're all thinking about a darkness retreat? I mean,
that too.
Any recommendations?
But say that you tripped on ayahuasca because he said all his dead relatives were stroking him. Do you remember that experience that he had? Do you remember that one? He said that he had this experience where all the hands of his dead relatives were on him. So that's the one. That's what you use. You say, what? I had ayahuasca for the first time. I went to Costa Rica.
Tell him about your gummy experience.
We got him at the worst day of training camp last year. It was so bad. It was horrible, actually. I don't even know if I want to even interview him this year. It was so bad last year. So we got him. He was late because two jackknife tractor trailers got in his way on the way to the facility. So he was late, period, to meetings. He was supposed to be with us for 20 minutes before the meeting start. He was late to meetings. So he walked in with this, like he had seen nothing like this even in California traffic. He walked in like he'd seen a ghost with all this New Jersey terrible traffic. It was raining. And then I started with like an icebreaker it was in the news about it. I bought this house and I asked him like, do you pick out your own furniture or something stupid? Just an icebreaker. Yeah. He's like, I'm not talking about my home. And I was like, okay.
And we are off and running.
I mean, even Boomer was like slapping me on the leg going, no.
Well, Boomer tried to give him a we know this guy in common. He gave him nothing back.
Nothing was working?
I almost threw up. I swear to God,
jackknives, though.
He's like, Boomer's like, hey, I know you did dishes with some guy I know. And Aaron's like, well, I like to do dishes. I'm just like, okay, let's bail from this. Where's the eject button? Where's the parachute? It was awful.
So plan B is COVID vaccine.
Oh, awful. I got through, it was really, really hard. And I will not go back and watch that or listen to that at all. I was embarrassed when that thing was over. There's nothing we could do.
Now, Diana knows that Dan and I used to have him on regularly. He used to come on,
four
or five times throughout the football season. But Levitard is not going to hold back. I will, because I want to keep having Aaron Rodgers on. And so I wasn't criticizing him, but Dan was giving some of his thoughts on some of Aaron's thoughts, and then suddenly Aaron stopped texting me back.
Guilt by association. Yeah. All right, well, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more Jet stuff, and also you had an opportunity on your podcast to talk to Saquon Barkley. That just came out, so we want to talk to Diana about that as well.
They got a Band-Aid. I mean...
Yeah, I know.
I mean, lens wipe?
Actually, we do have a Band-Aid.
Yeah, we have a whole emergency kit in the back if you want
to. Wow, amazing. Yeah. No water, but Band-Aids.
Just stay away from me. I don't know what you got.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, seriously, you definitely have all the hepatitis.
Yeah. By the way, that was on TV, Stu.
It's the finger that's bleeding. What do you want me to do?
All right, Boomer and Geo, Stu Gotsin with Boomer Moore with Diana Rossini coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the morning show, Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Stu Gotts in for Boomer this week. Diana Rossini of The Athletic in studio with us. Stu Gotts has been here for 2.5 hours. He already fired Chris Lopresti. So CeeLo is gone. He got rid of him. He's not going to do the update. So we'll get to CeeLo about 9:25.
Nice knowing you, CeeLo.
Yeah. I mean, no, we...
Al, I'm close to 2-hour shows. I'm telling you, we're getting there.
He's, give me a minute. Yes, he's forcing all his ideology down our throats right now, Stu Gotts, and it's working, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to play a clip from Scoop City, which is Diana's podcast with Chase Daniel, correct?
Yeah.
So you had Saquon Barkley on. Obviously, Hard Knocks has been a big topic here, off-season Hard Knocks with the New York Giants. The Joe Shane Saquon Barkley call, which you asked him about and his perspective on, and he gave you this answer.
It was over after that phone call, in my opinion. So, like,
as soon as he said to go hit the market,
and if you match it, that, they come back. Like, it was over after that because I never, in my heart, truly believed that they were going to match it, or they only wanted me for a lower price. So, like, no matter what, I probably wasn't going to go back. Like, I know my agent went back and talked to him, and, like, we gave him the opportunity, like, all right, what we matched. But, like, the whole time, like, I was already removed myself from that. Like, I had that conversation, and I was like, damn, like, it's going to suck. Like, it hurt.
Yeah, and I think he's right. I mean, watching Hard Knocks, it feels like the only reason they were entertaining some of this with Saquon Barkley is because John Mara didn't want to lose him. Mm-hmm. But Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and every 10,000 guys that they have in that scouting room, they didn't want him back. So, I mean, I agree with Saquon that it was probably over before that phone call, but that's when he knew it was over.
I'm with you, but I also think Joe Shane is right. Like, if you're going to spend money at that position, that, to me, I know Saquon's a good running back. I hope that he plays well in Philadelphia, but... to spend money and that kind of money on that position in today's NFL, to me, is ridiculous.
Well, it just depends on how you see your offense. And, you know, one of the points Saquon was making is the success that they had. And when they were having it, it was, you know, the guys like Andrew Thomas, Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence that got the deals. And they sort of saw themselves as a team, as the four of them, the core four. And he was the one left out. Mm-hmm. And I am interested to see what the offense will look like without him, knowing how much they did depend on him and how much of a threat he was against defenses, against their opponents. So, look, he said that call he knew. And when he was talking to me about it, you could tell it hurt. Like, and he even shared that. Do I think he's heartbroken right now at the start of Eagles training camp? No, I think he's over it. He's turned the page on it. Hard Knocks brought it back. Mm. Why? And that's why we're talking about it. But he said in terms of the drama, last year is where you wanted the Hard Knock cameras. He's like, that's where the drama was when they tagged me and they chose to pay Daniel Jones. He said that's where you would have probably saw fireworks on camera about our reaction to it all. He said, and, you know, granted, he went out there and did the best he could last year, but he said, you know, we knew this wasn't going to be a good fit. And Joe Shane comes in, right? Guys, you know, Saquon Barkley was drafted by Dave Gettleman. You know, the night he picked Saquon Barkley, touched by the hand of God. Remember? Yeah, it was like the greatest.
Gold jacket guy, yeah.
I was sitting in that press conference like, oh my gosh, like that is a very strong statement. But if you believe in it, good for you. And I think Joe Shane came in as the general manager and he's got this right to go, this is just not, it's not my guy. And this is not what I believe is going to help this Giants organization over the next few years.
There's some things that I just, when I'm sitting here, I can't believe that I'm still talking about. And one of those things is Daniel Jones as the Giants quarterback. Like, like when we don't talk about him for a while and we like baseball and the Knicks and the Rangers and everything and we get back to it, I'm like, I'm still stuck in this Daniel Jones hell. It feels like every single year it's the same conversation, but he can't be the quarterback after this year, right? It's got to be over.
You know, I asked Saquon about Daniel Jones. And look, they're best friends, right? But we talked football. We talked about comparisons, other quarterbacks around the league. And I have to say, Saquon has a lot of belief in Daniel Jones. And this wasn't him talking to me like reporter. This was off camera when we were just having a conversation about DJ's ability. And Saquon truly believes that there's talent, skill, mentality there in Daniel Jones that is good. And he believes that Brian Daboll is going to continue to try to bring the best out in him. And just the way he was explaining it made me believe a little bit more that, you know, maybe just the way it's all panned out. Maybe Daniel Jones just hasn't had the type of protection that he needs. Whatever the excuses, we'll call them, are that he hasn't shined yet. Saquon certainly still believes in him. And obviously, with his new quarterback, he's got tons of confidence in Jalen Hurts.
$47 million, though.
and they can get out after this season. So that's why, right, I feel like it's over.
But, Gio, 2 years ago, he was good. I mean, 2 years ago, they're one of the final eight teams left in the NFL.
I understand.
Which is why I got the contract. Right.
Maybe the Giants don't have a great season this year, and they're able to, you know, draft a great quarterback eventually in the future here. And Joe Shane, we look back on and go, well, that was genius. Everything they did was just brilliant.
And that 2 years ago thing, that has gone on a life of its own. Because think about it. He wasn't that good in the regular season.
I know.
The team wasn't supposed to be good, but he didn't throw a ton of touchdowns. They were okay. And then he went up against probably the stone worst defensive coordinator in the history of the game, and Ed Donatell, who had no idea what he was doing with a Vikings defense that was dead, and Patrick Peterson, who was done, and he had Isaiah Hodgins cooking him for like 200 yards in that game.
Gio, I know, but you bring Daboll in, and he's the perceived quarterback whisperer because he did it with Josh Allen, and at least you see one good year with him and Daniel Jones, and you figure, hey, this might continue. It might progress.
Nobody talks about the next week when they got their teeth kicked in by the Philadelphia Eagles and had no shot in the game.
This is stuff that may not matter to you guys and to Giants fans listening, but I didn't know the closeness of the Giants locker room. I didn't believe that it was as tight as Saquon was explaining. Like, he's like, you don't understand. We all lived within a mile of each other. We hung out all the time. It is so hard to win games in the NFL. And we had the right pieces. We had the right coaching. Like, he had tons of confidence and belief in what Daboll could do for them. It was just trying to get everyone on the same page and be healthy at the same time. So I think it was a mix of bad luck there, and obviously just leaning into what Saquon highlighted, which is it's just not easy. Which, by the way, when Saquon was explaining that to me, of just, you know, people just don't get how hard it is to have a winning year. I was just with the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting there with Andy Reid, and we're just going through his resume and just what they're able to do. And I'm just in awe of what those guys do and the culture they've built there. And the guys in the locker room that run that show, we talked about the Jets earlier and the keys being handed over to Aaron Rodgers to perhaps plant that first seed of what this should be, how to win. The Kansas City Chiefs got like 3-4 guys in that locker room going, dictating what this is going to look like, what this is going to be. And for Giants fans, you got to hope at some point there's a locker room that can resemble something like that, because it's been a long time since both New York locker rooms had something that they could brag about.
Diana Russini in studio with us this morning. How do you think Joe Shane has come across in offseason Hard Knocks?
Decisive in terms of knowing what he wants and willing to go against ownership. We were reporting leaning up to when, I guess it was like the month before free agency, we all knew, people that cover the Giants, that ownership loves Saquon. The jerseys are everywhere. There's still Barkley Giants jerseys in my town hanging in the windows because they haven't taken them down yet because no one's realized he's left. You know, so just the character and all the things that come with Saquon, all the positive stuff, you understand why ownership wanted him. And you saw on the show, someone brought it up in the meeting, like, what are we without him? What is this going to look like? But I also look at it this way. Joe Shane made this decision. We're saying Joe Shane. If Brian Daboll wanted Saquon Barkley, it's, Joe, make this happen. I don't care what you have to do. I need Saquon. We need Saquon. Daniel needs Saquon. Brian Daboll has belief his team is fine without Saquon, that they can figure out the run game without him.
But are you saying Daboll's calling the shots there?
They're calling the shots together. They're a tandem. They're a really good GM head coach duo in terms of sharing, listening, and collaborating on what they want this to be. My point is, you can't put this all on Joe Shane. This has to be Brian Daboll. He's They're running connected. The offense. Right. Yeah. He's not going to allow Joe Shane, the GM, to get rid of his best offensive weapon without signing off. It doesn't work like that.
And they wanted a quarterback in the draft. It just wasn't going to happen with the top three teams being quarterback needy.
Correct.
And they didn't like J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix enough.
Do you like J.J. McCarthy?
No, I hate him. Not as a person. I think he's going to be horrendous.
Well, how would you know? You don't know him as a person.
I know. But I mean, it sounds like I hate him. I hate the draft pick of J.J. McCarthy. I think it's horrendous.
So you think the Giants made the right pick?
Oh, 100%.
My thing with Joe Shane, and I know Joe very well, and he's a great guy, and I think he's done a good job so far, is Willie, if he has to, because she's right, Diana's right, they're connected. Shane and Daboll are connected. They are close. If he needs to fire Daboll, is he going to fire Daboll?
No. They're going to go out as a tandem, I think. Yeah.
I don't know. GMs tend to last. That is, you hear that around the league all the time. It takes a lot for a general manager to get fired. Head coaches, it's easier to point. You didn't win. Out. General managers is like, well, and usually the general manager has the ear of ownership. Yeah, they're cozied up with them at the owners' meetings. You see them having dinner together. They're telling the owner everything they want to hear while the head coach is in the trenches dealing with all the stuff that comes with a football season. So usually in most cases, the GM can survive. It's just for these guys, they have done a really good job of visually and even behind the scenes looking as if they're in this bed together.
We've got another segment with Diana coming up. I've got questions about Bill Belichick that I'm hoping she has the answers to, and some more around the league stuff. It's Boomer and Geo with Stu Gatz in for Boomer the rest of the week. Another segment with Diana Russini of The Athletic.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Stu Gatz in for Boomer. Diana Russini of The Athletic in with us until 9 a.m. All right, quick Jets note here before we get into the Bill Belichick question I need to ask Diana. Hassan Reddick has decided to start an official holdout. The mandatory minicamp stuff and the off-season, the OTAs and all of that he skipped, that wasn't a big deal. But now it's an official holdout as he's not shown up to camp. So what's your feeling on how this is going to go with the Jets and Hassan Reddick?
Yeah, this whole situation is a bit bizarre. You would think that this deal would have been agreed upon before he became a New York Jet, and usually this has worked out. Usually that's what the holdup is. But look, the Jets are going to be put in position. They're going to have to get this done. And you know, I've spoken to both sides in this situation, and they were prepared for this. So it's not like this is coming as a surprise to them. So we'll see. And as you know, as the training camp goes, usually these things that gets it moved along. So we'll see how long this holdout will last. It's expensive. Right?
Yeah.
$50K a day for him to miss out.
It's so strange, though, because he left Philadelphia because he didn't have the long-term deal. And you're right. You would think that the Jets would have worked that out on the front end and the Eagles and Reddick, but they have not.
It is an odd one, and you would think that Joe Douglas would have done a better job of communication. There's probably more going on that we know with that, but hopefully for the Jets, it's something that gets done. So I want you to settle this debate that Boomer and I have had. And it's just your opinion, so I don't know if you can really settle it. You can just agree with one of us or the other. So Boomer believes that it's going to be harder for Bill Belichick to get a job in the NFL as a head coach or head coach GM combo like he was in New England if he's still dating the 23-year-old, where I'm thinking that that's not going to matter. So he believes that if the Giants for some reason came calling, that they would be reticent in hiring him because he was dating a 23-year-old cheerleader. And I was like, the same team that's going to make their number one player of all time, LT, who was caught in a Motel 6 with a 16-year-old? That team? What is your opinion on that?
I don't think his dating life is going to have any effect on an owner making a decision on whether or not they're going to bring Bill Belichick in. I think there's probably a lot of owners who also have 24-year-old girlfriends.
Good point.
So there may be just a high five.
I want to ask her to name one.
I don't think it's... Look, the age difference is quite significant, and we're watching Bill live his best life right now. Mm. He's doing tons of media. He's putting himself out there for a guy who wouldn't even give an answer in how many press conferences or address anything head on, now has turned into this media darling, and he's going to be very successful at it because he's brilliant. But I don't think the girlfriend thing is going to have any effect. My question is, after this season, are owners that went the other way with more of that idea, philosophy of collaboration, those type, are they going to freak out and go, you know what, this isn't the right way? We need somebody who knows exactly what they want. Because that's why a Bill Belichick, a Mike Vrabel scare owners. They know exactly who they are, exactly what they want to be, exactly what they want the building to look like. And sometimes that type of control is not wanted. And there are many owners, as we saw last season, be way more open to, let's have a softer type of head coach or a coach with a different type of style lead this way. But as we know, it all comes in phases and cycles here, whereas right now we're seeing that's the trend. Let's see if it shifts back. But I firmly believe that those two guys would definitely have jobs next season.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So he's definitely getting back in next year.
Yeah, I think Bill's definitely going to get some owner to say, hey, run the show here. Jacksonville is a team that comes to mind for me, right? Let's see what Doug Peterson can do this year. Trent Baalke there.
Dallas is a team for me. Philadelphia.
You have a lot of teams that I think you're going to, if they come out of the gate here struggling, I think the calls for Bill and Vrabel and maybe even Pete Carroll in some situations could possibly begin November.
Yeah,
early November, maybe, you know, maybe earlier, right? Because you've got these guys that are good coaches, they're accomplished, and you know that there are decision makers who stuck with their head coach going, did we make the right move? No one's 100% sure they're doing the right thing in terms of keeping these guys in place. Howie Roseman has built a roster of champions. That roster has eight Pro Bowlers, right? He sticks with Nick Sirianni. He says, you know what? This guy's taken them to the playoffs three times. They've been to a Super Bowl. I understand why they kept him in place. But they took away his offensive power there. It's all Kellen Moore now. So he's just going to oversee it. I'm interested to see if the Eagles struggle coming out, if that's going to be a job opening come later in December.
And these guys want to coach. Vrabel wants to coach. Oh, Belichick wants to coach. In fact, I think there is more pressure on NFL head coaches because of their presence.
Yeah, but
than any other season I can remember. If I'm Belichick, I plant myself at Philadelphia games if that's the job I want, right in the 50 with the fan, and when they're down 17-3, I start a Belichick cheer. How about, I mean, seriously, the greatest coach who has ever lived is available and wants to coach.
I do love watching the different philosophies from Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel. Obviously, Vrabes played for Belichick. You've got Bill putting himself out there, the older guy, the curmudgeon, the grumpy guy doing all this media, and you got Vrabel doing no media. Right, where every show wanted him. Everyone wanted him on the pregame show because he's 47, 48 years old. He's lively. He's smart. Yet they're going about this different ways. Which is going to win? Bill trying to revive his perception, his image through media, or Mike, who's just going to go to Cleveland, keep his head down, and learn more about analytics. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, what are we doing here? So I this is going to be really fun to watch, to see these two. I think they're going to be up for all the same jobs. So to see that play out will also be some fun and interesting things to keep an eye on.
And last thing I wanted to ask you that I didn't get to during our first segment with the Jets is this job that was floated out there by the Jets of this offensive guru that was somehow going to be above Nate Hackett in the organization, that I guess Arthur Smith was spoken to about this, and how Rob Saleh says is going to be more involved in the offense. Yeah. I mean, what the hell is that about?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that you read everything I write.
Yeah, like, of course. Come on.
You're a busy person. You're a parent.
And somehow, I appreciate you filling me in on what she wrote.
Stu's constantly texting me, I need the password. I'm like, buy a subscription. Support me. It's like $1.99 a month.
On the day she launched her podcast, I should have been very happy for her. I am very happy for her. I didn't congratulate her. I asked her to come in studio with us next week.
I'm getting all these texts from all the people in my life that have helped lift me and taught me the way and are the reason for my career. Right. I would actually say Stu is a part of why I've been able to do what I'm doing. Yet, this idiot just texts me. My stomach's in a knot. I have a podcast that has been in the works for a year. Mm-hmm. It is vulnerable to do a show. You guys know this. I roll out. I see Stu. I'm like, oh, this. I'm going to get that I'm proud of you moment. I know it. It's going to be, did it. You're on your own. You don't need ESPN. You don't need me. And it's, need a favor.
Yep.
I got to be honest. I was waiting for the text from you thanking me for all my help. I mean, anyway, I love you.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple of times where I've seen his name come up in a text message, and I don't see what it says yet. And I'm thinking, like, and it might have been a day where I was in the New York Post or saw about something or whatever it may be. You know, golf, maybe he's up in New York, wants to play golf, and it's like, hey, do you have Oliveira's number? Or how well do you know Spike Eskin? All these things, like, come on!
Dan Lebatard shoots me a really kind text message that says, your podcast is ranked 2 in the world right now. You should be really proud of yourself, which, like, so nice of Dan. Think about it. It's competition, technically, right? We're competing. And he is the first one to reach out to be like, kick butt, girl, go get him. He said, have you heard from Stu? I said, no. I said, I got to tell you, Dan, I don't even know if I like him. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, I'm not sure if any of us do.
Right.
He is a snake. Just be careful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. That's how we all feel around here. We're not quite sure how we feel about you.
I love all you, too. I mean, I really do.
What is the name of my podcast, Stu?
I have no idea. Exactly. I mean, listen, you deserve more than a podcast. I've told you this. You deserve your own TV show. You should be doing radio here, WFAN, and you should fire your agent and hire me. I mean, seriously.
It says it right in front of you.
Scoop City, of course. I knew. I'm just doing it for impact.
How about that logo? You like the logo?
We're doing radio here.
Pretty good. Okay. Scoop City with Saquon Barkley out right now, right?
40 pounds heavier than I am in real life. I look like I just ate a turkey.
Am I supposed to put this on my fridge? Like, no, what?
Put it on your laptop. It's like put it on your cell phone.
Yeah.
There you go,
Scoop City with, wow.
Yes. He needed it because he couldn't remember the name.
No.
He's looking at the logo has a drawing of me, and it doesn't really reflect me. Someone was drunk when they drew that.
Yeah, that is, wow.
I am very proud of you because I told you all the time, we were at ESPN together for many, many years, and I've told you that you're one of the most credible people in our business. You are connected to the NFL in a way that few others are, but I know there's a great personality underneath there, and that personality needs to come out. And so I'm glad to see that it's coming. She doesn't believe insincere?
felt so fake.
There's a personality. I mean, that is like a weird backhanded comment.
There's a personality underneath there.
Listen, if I was the program director.
Information and nerdiness. There's something there.
She would have been hired already. Gio, if I was the PD, I would tell you, terrible job talking football for an hour with Diana Rossini. You did not get to the good Diana Rossini.
Because Gio wants what my best skill is, which is information. That's what I do. I'm the senior NFL insider for The Athletic. That is my job. You want me to come on here and talk about the fight I got in with my husband last night because right now juggling all of this isn't great.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't know you'd... See, I don't know you well enough to ask those questions yet.
I don't want to go there. He makes me go
there.
But
now you've mentioned it, and all of us are like, okay, let's talk about marital issues.
What's the best reaction you've gotten to anything you've ever done in your professional career? Huh?
So, Gio, I'm hosting NFL Live. I'm walking by the radio station. I see Stugatz. I give them a wave. I don't really know them, but I just wave, and he's giving me the wave, like, come in the studio. And I'm like, guys, I have 15 minutes. I got to get on set. He said, sit down real quick. I said, sure. My mom calls me while this is happening. So I quickly answer on speaker because I just want to tell her I got to go. So they hear the quick conversation. She was yelling at me about something with my sister. And so Stu goes, does she talk like that? Is that really her? I go, yeah, that's my mom. And so then I just did the imitation of her. I was like, you mean like this? And he's like, oh my God, sit down. I want to take calls. I want you to answer people's calls and questions about football as your mom. Trust me. I sit down. I am sweating. I'm like, this is not a good idea. I am a credible journalist. I don't want to take away from that. I'm trying to get a job on Monday Night Countdown. Like, yeah. this is career suicide. And I sit down and amazing fans of the show just called in. And I gave them amazing football advice. But just with a very horrendous Bronx accent.
That sounds like a very Levitard show type of moment.
And there. Then NFL players are reaching out to her, telling her greatest thing they've ever seen.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Stugatz in for Boomer. Diana Rossini of The Athletic in with us until 9 a.m. All right, quick Jets note here before we get into the Bill Belichick question I need to ask Diana. Hassan Reddick has decided to start an official holdout. The mandatory minicamp stuff and the offseason, the OTAs and all of that he skipped, that wasn't a big deal. But now it's an official holdout as he's not shown up to camp. So what's your feeling on how this is going to go with the Jets and Hassan Reddick?
Yeah, this whole situation is a bit bizarre. You would think that this deal would have been agreed upon before he became a New York Jet, and usually this has worked out. Usually that's what the holdup is. But look, the Jets are going to be put in position. They're going to have to get this done. And you know, I've spoken to both sides in this situation, and they were prepared for this. So it's not like this is coming as a surprise to them. So we'll see. And as you know, as the training camp goes, usually these things that gets it moved along. So we'll see how long this holdout will last. It's expensive. Right?
Yeah.
$50K a day for him to miss out.
It's so strange, though, because he left Philadelphia because he didn't have the long-term deal. And you're right. You would think that the Jets would have worked that out on the front end and the Eagles and Reddick, but they have not.
It is an odd one, and you would think that Joe Douglas would have done a better job of communication. There's probably more going on than we know with that, but hopefully for the Jets, it's something that gets done. So I want you to settle this debate that Boomer and I have had. And it's just your opinion, so I don't know if you can really settle it. You just agree with one of us or the other. So Boomer believes that it's going to be harder for Bill Belichick to get a job in the NFL as a head coach or head coach GM combo like he was in New England if he's still dating the 23-year-old, where I'm thinking that that's not going to matter. So he believes that if the Giants, for some reason, came calling, that they would be reticent in hiring him because he was dating a 23-year-old cheerleader. And I was like, the same team that's going to make their number one player of all time, LT, who was caught in a Motel 6 with a 16-year-old? That team? What is your opinion on that?
I don't think his dating life is going to have any effect on an owner making a decision on whether or not they're going to bring Bill Belichick in. I think there's probably a lot of owners who also have 24-year-old girlfriends.
Good point.
So there may be just a high five. Or
I want to ask her to name one.
I don't think it's... Look, the age difference is quite significant, and we're watching Bill live his best life right now. Mm. He's doing tons of media. He's putting himself out there for a guy who wouldn't even give an answer in how many press conferences or address anything head on, now has turned into this media darling, and he's going to be very successful at it because he's brilliant. But I don't think the girlfriend thing is going to have any effect. My question is, after this season, are owners that went the other way with more of that idea, philosophy of collaboration, those type, are they going to freak out and go, you know what, this isn't the right way? We need somebody who knows exactly what they want. Because that's why a Bill Belichick, a Mike Vrabel scare owners. They know exactly who they are, exactly what they want to be, exactly what they want the building to look like. And sometimes that type of control is not wanted. And there are many owners, as we saw last season, be way more open to, let's have a softer type of head coach or a coach with a different type of style lead this way. But as we know, it all comes in phases and cycles here, whereas right now we're seeing that's the trend. Let's see if it shifts back. But I firmly believe that those two guys would definitely have jobs next season.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So he's definitely getting back in next year.
Yeah, I think Bill's definitely going to get some owner to say, hey, run the show here. Jacksonville is a team that comes to mind for me, right? Let's see what Doug Peterson can do this year. Trent Baalke there.
Dallas is a team for me. Philadelphia.
You have a lot of teams that I think you're going to, if they come out of the gate here struggling, I think the calls for Bill and Vrabel and maybe even Pete Carroll in some situations could possibly begin November.
Yeah,
early November, maybe, maybe earlier, right? Because you've got these guys that are good coaches, they're accomplished, and you know that there are decision makers who stuck with their head coach going, did we make the right move? No one's 100% sure they're doing the right thing in terms of keeping these guys in place. Howie Roseman has built a roster of champions. That roster has eight Pro Bowlers, right? He sticks with Nick Sirianni. He says, you know what? This guy's taken them to the playoffs three times. They've been to a Super Bowl. I understand why they kept him in place. But they took away his offensive power there. It's all Kellen Moore now. So he's just going to oversee it. I'm interested to see if the Eagles struggle coming out, if that's going to be a job opening come later in December.
And these guys want to coach. Vrabel wants to coach. Oh, Belichick wants to coach. In fact, I think there is more pressure on NFL head coaches because of their presence.
Yeah, but
than any other season I can remember. If I'm Belichick, I plant myself at Philadelphia games if that's the job I want, right in the 50 with the fan, and when they're down 17-3, I start a Belichick cheer. The greatest coach who has ever lived is available and wants to coach.
I do love watching the different philosophies from Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel. Obviously, Vrabes played for Belichick. You've got Bill putting himself out there, the older guy, the curmudgeon, the grumpy guy doing all this media. And you got Vrabel doing no media, right? Where every show wanted him. Everyone wanted him on the pregame show because he's 47, 48 years old. He's lively. He's smart. Yet they're going about this different ways. Which is going to win? Bill trying to revive his perception, his image through media, or Mike, who's just going to go to Cleveland, keep his head down, and learn more about analytics. Right, right. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? So this is going to be really fun to watch, to see these two. I think they're going to be up for all the same jobs. So to see that play out will also be some fun and interesting things to keep an eye on.
And last thing I wanted to ask you that I didn't get to during our first segment with the Jets is this job that was floated out there by the Jets of this offensive guru that was somehow going to be above Nate Hackett in the organization, that I guess Arthur Smith was spoken to about this, and how Rob Saleh is going to be more involved in the offense. Yeah. I mean, what the hell is that about?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that you read everything I write.
Yeah, like, of course. Amazing. Come on.
I you're a busy person. You're a parent.
And somehow, I appreciate you filling me in on what she wrote.
Stu's constantly texting me. I need the password. I'm like, buy a subscription. Support me. It's like $1.99 a month.
On the day she launched her podcast, I should have been very happy for her. I am very happy for her. I didn't congratulate her. I asked her to come in studio with us next week.
I'm getting all these texts from all the people in my life that have helped lift me and taught me the way and are the reason for my career. Right. I would actually say Stu is a part of why I've been able to do what I'm doing. Yet, this idiot just texts me. My stomach's in a knot. I have a podcast that has been in the works for a year. Mm-hmm. It is vulnerable to do a show. You guys know this. I roll out. I see Stu. I'm like, oh, this, I'm going to get that I'm proud of you moment. I know it. It's going to be, did it. You're on your own. You don't need ESPN. You don't need me. And it's, need a favor.
Yep.
I got to be honest. I was waiting for the text from you thanking me for all my help. I mean, anyway, I love you.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple of times where I've seen his name come up in a text message, and I don't see what it says yet. And I'm thinking, like, and it might have been a day where I was in the New York Post or saw about something or whatever it may be. You know, golf, maybe he's up in New York, wants to play golf, and it's like, hey, do you have Olivero's number? Or how well do you know Spike Eskin?
There's always an angle.
All these things, like, come on!
Dan Lebatard shoots me a really kind text message that says, your podcast is ranked 2 in the world right now. You should be really proud of yourself. Which, like, so nice of Dan. Think about it. It's competition, technically, right? We're competing. And he is the first one to reach out to be like, kick butt, girl, go get him. He said, have you heard from Stu? I said, no. I said, I got to tell you, Dan, I don't even know if I like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, I'm not sure if any of us do.
Right.
He is a snake. Just be careful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That's how we all feel around here. We're not quite sure how we feel about you.
I love all you, too. I mean, I really do.
What is the name of my podcast, Stu?
I have no idea. Exactly. I mean, listen, you deserve more than a podcast. I've told you this. You deserve your own TV show. You should be doing radio here, WFAN, and you should fire your agent and hire me. I mean, seriously.
It says it right in front of you.
Scoop City, of course. I knew. I'm just doing it for impact.
How about that logo? You like the logo?
We're doing radio here.
Pretty good. Yeah, so Scoop City with Saquon Barkley out right now, right?
40 pounds heavier than I am in real life. I look like I just ate a turkey.
Am I supposed to put this on my fridge? Like, what?
Put it on your laptop. It's like put it on your cell phone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Scoop City with, wow.
Yes. He needed it because he couldn't remember the name.
No.
He's looking at the logo has a drawing of me. And it doesn't really reflect me. Someone was drunk when they drew that.
Wow.
I am very proud of you because I told you all the time, we were at ESPN together for many, many years, and I've told you that you're one of the most credible people in our business. You are connected to the NFL in a way that few others are, but I know there's a great personality underneath there, and that personality needs to come out. And so I'm glad to see that it's coming. She doesn't believe insincere?
felt so fake.
There's a personality. I mean, that is like a weird backhanded comment.
There's a personality underneath there.
Gee, yeah, listen, if I was the program director.
Information and nerdiness. There's something there.
She would have been hired already. Gio, if I was the PD, I would tell you terrible job talking football for an hour with Diana Rossini. You did not get to the good Diana Rossini.
Well, because Gio wants what my best skill is, which is information. That's what I do. I'm the senior NFL insider for The Athletic. That is my job. You want me to come on here and talk about the fight I got in with my husband last night because right now juggling all of this isn't great.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't know you'd... See, I don't know you well enough to ask those questions yet.
I don't want to go there. He makes me
But now you've mentioned it, and all of us are like, okay, let's talk about marital issues.
What's the best reaction you've gotten to anything you've ever done in your professional career? Huh?
So, Gio, I'm hosting NFL Live. I'm walking by the radio station. I see Stugatz. I give them a wave. I don't really know them, but I just wave, and he's giving me the wave, like, come in the studio. And I'm like, guys, I have 15 minutes. I got to get on set. He said, sit down real quick. I said, sure. My mom calls me while this is happening. So I quickly answer on speaker because I just want to tell her I got to go. So they hear the quick conversation. She was yelling at me about something with my sister. And so Stu goes, does she talk like that? Is that really her? I go, yeah, that's my mom. And so then I just did the imitation of her. I was like, you mean like this? And he's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Sit down. I want to take calls. I want you to answer people's calls and questions about football as your mom. Trust me. I sit down. I am sweating. I'm like, this is not a good idea. I am a credible journalist. I don't want to take away from that. I'm trying to get a job on Monday Night Countdown. Like, yeah. this is career suicide. And I sit down and amazing fans of the show just called in. And I gave them amazing football advice. But just with a very horrendous Bronx accent.
That sounds like a very Levitard then, show type of moment.
And there. Then NFL players are reaching out to her, telling her greatest Cousin. Thing they've ever seen. What?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.